Predators maxed out on NBC this year. 12 games. Still four more to go. The next one will be next Thursday here in Nashville, Bridgestone Arena, as the Predators host Los Angeles. The Keens will be in town. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick. Now we say hello to Jeremy Roenick. Been a while since we caught up with JR. Jeremy, how you doing?
I'm great, guys. How you doing this afternoon?
Well, we're doing better after last night's performance with the Canadiens. Things were a little tough sledding as the Preds had dropped three in a row before they beat Montreal last night.
Yeah, it's about time. And, you know, they go through different stretches, but it seems like, you know, the Predators can't seem to find a niche and stay with it. But, you know, still, 20-some-odd games left in the season. There's still time to amp it up and make a good run for that playoff spot.
How did you handle that as a player? You go through, I mean, you played for a long time. You go through an 82 regular season grind. And like you said, you can't get too high. You can't get too low. There's going to be ebbs and flows. How did you handle the patches, the bad patches as a player?
I just prepared mentally differently. You know, I think there's sometimes when you visualize different things during the day, there's some days where you would think about the game a little bit different, a little bit more, maybe different aspects of the game. You know, maybe you change your pattern, your day of game pattern differently. Try to just mix things up to try to keep things fresh in your head. I think try to dwell on the positives instead of dwell on negatives, I think it's, for me, was really important. What am I doing right? And try to expand on those rather than what am I doing wrong and worry about those things. So, you know, everybody's different. I really truly feel in today's game that a lot of players really don't think about the game when they're away from the arena. And to me, that was a big part of my preparation and being ready for a game, but it also made me excited for a game. You know, it's one thing to think about it and go through it in your head, but it's another thing to get out there and actually play it. So I actually got excited to play the game because, I lived and breathed it even thinking about it. So and I really, truly believe that guys just put on their skates without putting any mental thought to it before a game and think it's just going to turn on, and it doesn't happen that way.
When you see the Predators, what do you see?
I see a one-line team that is struggling to find consistency in their offense. You see last night you have your secondary scorer score. Ryan Hartman scores, Brian Boyle scores, and you have your most consistent player on the team, and Victor Arvidsson continues to play well. But when you have other players chip in offensively, you have a tendency to win more hockey games. And this is one of the biggest problems that the Predators had is they're a one-line hockey team. Nobody else has helped them offensively. And Pekka can only do so much to keep the puck out of the net. They have to get some sort of offensive support to allow him to take a little pressure off him. And unfortunately, sometimes you're going to get bad goals, like what happened the other day against the Detroit Red Wings. You know, the team battles to tie it up, and then, you know, a terrible goal given up, you know, in the beginning of the third period, and the team can't catch up again because it's two up and two down. You know, too many emotional highs and lows. And, you know, you have to find some consistency in both your offense and your defense at the same time. And the Predators haven't been able to do that.
Jeremy, I've asked that same question to a lot of people here of late when we have them on. And a lot of them have said kind of the same thing. See a team waiting for the playoffs. And when we have David Poile joins us every week on the show, and he sat down in the arena with us on Tuesday, and I told him on the air, this question is asked. This is what a lot of people are saying, and he cringed at that notion.
Yeah. That's how you miss the playoffs, and that's how you lose in the first round.
Yeah, when you always hear the proverbial light switch, oh, you can just turn it on. What do you think when you hear that?
It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Because that, to me, that's not being professional. To be professional, you're getting paid a lot of money. You have to be prepared to play every single night. And you have to be prepared to play the system every night and play hard to the system every night. Everybody has a job, and everybody should play within that job. It's when guys don't do their job or guys try to do too many jobs that you find where the problems, you know, occur and get in the way. So, you know, and you see a couple other teams that are in the same situation. The Washington Capitals are in the same boat. They won the cup last year, and now they're sitting around. They want to get back to the playoffs so bad so they can turn that on again and make another run and have that celebration again. And, you know, they played a good game against San Jose last night, but that was nothing. There was nothing in their game over the last month that showed me that they were interested in playing on a night-to-night basis. And what's going to happen is you're going to get into bad habits, and those bad habits are going to creep in and game out. And the next thing you know, you're going to be in eighth place, struggling for that last spot, coming in down in the last week of the season with about two or three other teams that are doing the same thing, and then the pressure mounts, and next thing you know, you're out of the playoffs, and that's usually what happens.
Talking to Jeremy Roenick from NBC, talking hockey right now, and let's talk about that those last couple spots, Jeremy, because it has become a lot of fun to watch the revolving door of these teams getting hot, some teams that looked like they were out of it before. One that we just saw up close recently last weekend was the St. Louis Blues. They've got everything going their way right now. What, as you size them up going forward, to me, they look like they've got a pretty good formula that's not going to go away as long as they get decent goaltending.
Yeah, well, there's no question about it. Goaltending changes the mentality of a team. You see what happened in Philadelphia when Carter Hart started playing, you know, the goaltending, you know, giving them the support and the confidence behind them. Binnington is doing the same thing in St. Louis and giving them all the confidence that they can take chances and go offense and be a little bit more aggressive than they would normally. But, you know, that drives me crazy, too, because it's like here's a team like St. Louis that couldn't get out of their own way. They couldn't win a hockey game, and now all of a sudden they're world beaters. Well, what's different now than what was, you know, totally different now than was 2 months ago? You know, the Chicago Blackhawks are in the same situation. They're running hot, and they were in last place at one point. Now they're only a couple spots out of a playoff spot. I think what Nashville and all these other teams have going for them is the West has three or four teams that I think are trying to miss the playoffs. Anaheim being one of them, Colorado being another, Edmonton being another. These teams that were started off really well in the beginning of the season that now can't seem to piece not even one win to two wins together, but not even one. So, you know, that those spots are being held up and being up for grabs now because nobody's stepping up and taking them, which is allowing Nashville this little reprieve to not panic.
Yeah, they've got a little bit of a cushion as we speak right now. And, JR, as you mentioned, it's pretty interesting. You've got a team like Minnesota who they're not sure if they're good enough, yet they're sitting in one of the playoff spots. And I'd love to get your thoughts on Chicago because they were way out of the race, and now the way they've played, I think there was probably people that were thinking maybe they could get the first pick in the draft. I didn't think that was a crazy notion at one point. Now they're just 2 points out.
Yeah, which is amazing, and you see what happens when you know when a team all you know comes together and plays the proper way every single night, and that's what they've been doing. Their power play has been exceptional. They have had by far the best power play in the National Hockey League for the last month. Their goaltending has been much better, but now what you see with them is you see their confidence, and their young guys are scoring goals. I think you know Dylan Strome has played really well. DeBrincat's played really well. You've had last night. You have Drake Kajula comes up with a couple big goals. So they're getting support from more than one guy. Patrick Kane, in my opinion, if the Hawks make the playoffs, he's going to be the MVP without question. And he is the most valuable player to any team right now in the playoffs. The guy's having a monster year on a team that at one time was at the bottom of the list and now has a chance to make the playoffs. So you look at. You look at what they're doing now coming up to the trade deadline. I think a month ago they were probably looking to be sellers. I think you can see Chicago now probably keeping a lot more of their products and maybe getting a 4, 5, 6 defenseman and maybe a fourth line winger that can help them out. They might be more buyers now since they have a chance to play out.
Pretty crazy. Now let's go to the top of the conference. JR, take the Predators out of the mix. If you had to pick one team that you think right now is best positioned to be the Western Conference champion, who would you take?
Well, I'm going to take last night's game out of the equation. I'm going to say San Jose Sharks. Okay. I think they hit a team that was going on the road for a big stretch. They were excited to get away from home. The Washington Capitals have been very inconsistent, as I have told you, I think on a game-to-game basis. And I think going out west, a lot of teams get excited to go on the road, especially to go out west to get out of the cold of the East Coast. It's a good bonding experience for guys, and it's a perfect way to get your game on track. And I think Washington came in and surprised San Jose pretty quickly last night. But I think San Jose has every aspect. They have their four lines can score goals. Their defense is one of the best defensive cores, offensively and defense in the game. And if one aspect of their game, their goaltending, if Martin Jones can get back to his, I think his performance that he had a couple years ago when they did make the finals, I don't see many teams beating San Jose Sharks 4 out of 7 games. They are extremely strong, especially with the way Evander Kane is playing right now. He has, 14 goals in his last 18 games. So, and they have something to rally around, too, in Joe Thornton, who this probably and will be his last year in the National Hockey League. I'm sure a lot of his guys would love to see him go out with a Stanley Cup. So a lot of things going on in San Jose. Winnipeg, again, Winnipeg is tough, but they're a Jekyll and Hyde team. Sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't.
Last thing, Jeremy, we're all in a fishing boat, the three of us. Give me the two biggest fish in the next 10 days that are going to be caught. Who are the two big carrots that everybody's going to be going after and they're going to move teams?
I think Wayne Simmonds is going to be a guy that the Flyers are going to dangle out there. He's a couple of two or three time 30 goal scorer. He's having a little bit of an off year. I think he's a little disgruntled in Philly right now. Only because I think the Flyers went and signed James Van Riemsdyk to a real big contract, kind of taking away a little bit of his mojo. I can see the Flyers really getting some quality players back for Simmonds. So look for something like that to happen. Besides that, I can't see too many different pieces moving around. I'm trying to think of
Panarin, Stone, Duchesne. Where are those guys on the list?
From what I'm hearing, Florida is trying to grab both Panarin and Bobrovsky all at the same time. I don't know how they're going to do that.
Yeah.
But Columbus Blue Jackets, they have a really sticky situation because they have two of the top unrestricted free agents in the offseason. And a lot of teams would think they can probably get them cheaper by offering them some big money come the July 1st unrestricted free agency market, rather than having to give up a big boatload of their rosters to grab these guys. I think one of them will probably go. I think it'll probably be Bobrovsky before it'll be Panarin, but they have some confidence in their goaltending, I think more so than they'd have in their offense. So be interesting to see what happens in that aspect.
Interesting. Good stuff. As always, we'll be watching. You guys got a double dip on Sunday. We'll be watching for sure. Always good to catch up with you. Thanks for doing this.
It's great to catch up with you guys too. And I hope the Predators get to the finals too, because I had such a good time there a couple years ago. So I'll be rooting for them. Trust me.
See, that's what I thought Darren was asking you, is if you're going to catch more catfish in the lake like you did with Taylor Lewan a couple years ago.
Hey, listen. If I have any opportunity to get there and catch, I'll catch the smallest catfish if I have to. If it's a chance to get to Nashville, so don't worry. I'll be rooting.
How about we end it with this? We'll see you in June.
Perfect. I'll set up the reservations right now.
All right, Jeremy, thanks.
See you guys.
Jeremy Roenick, a good way to end the third hour. Rangers-Penguins will be the first game, followed by the Blues in Minnesota against the Wild. A double dip of hockey on NBC on Sunday. Pick 6 to kick off the final hour next.